In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every living thing has a spirit. Whether it be a physical thing or a moral thing. Physical things, that is, plants and animals and human beings and angels, have spirits, that is, souls, some of them mortal souls, some of them immortal souls, but nevertheless all of them have souls, which are their principle of life and activity. And every organization has also a life and an activity, and therefore a certain spirit. And this spirit is that principle, that fire, if you want, by which it has enthusiasm to pursue its goals. And so we even speak about the spirit of ancient Greece, something that gave impulse to their culture. And when a spirit leaves a living thing, it becomes a corpse. So we see when a person dies, there is a sudden and profound change in their existence. Even if a person should die of old age and be taking his last breath, even when he is still alive, and even when he has a few breaths left in him, he is still profoundly different from a few moments later when he is dead. When there is no longer even the possibility that a breath might come. And when the body begins to deteriorate immediately. Because the spirit of it is out. In the moral order, there are two spirits which dominate man, which control his soul. And the one is the Spirit of God, and the other is the spirit of the world. It is impossible that these two coexist in the same man. Our Lord said it, you cannot serve God and mammon. Each of these spirits gives impulse to a certain goal. The Spirit of God gives impulse in the soul to pursue the things of God, and the spirit of the world gives impulse in the soul to pursue the things of this world. The two cannot get along because God and the world are opposed. The devil, as our Lord said in today's gospel, is the prince of this world. Saint John the Evangelist said, "Whosoever becometh a friend of this world becometh an enemy of Christ." The Spirit of God, therefore, expels the spirit of the world, and the spirit of the world expels the Spirit of God. For as long, therefore, as a man, once he is baptized, perseveres in virtue, in the observance of the commandments of God, he retains the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of God comes in baptism. When he falls into the state of mortal sin, he possesses the spirit of the world. For as long as he loves that sin, for as long as he is complacent with it, as soon as he repents of that sin, the Spirit of God is actually drawing him to that repentance. That is the grace of God that makes him have even the first spark of contrition for sin. Now, the spirit of the world is to love some created thing as the source of our perfect happiness. To love a created thing is not wrong. We love many created things. But we can love them in the wrong way. We can love them too much. We can make them the ultimate goal of our existence in this life. And that is to have the spirit of the world. According to St. John, it has a threefold manifestation. The first is the concupiscence of the eyes. This is primarily vanity. It is to be dazzled by worldly things, whether they should be material things or spiritual worldly things like honor, respect. The second is the concupiscence of the flesh. For once we have given into the vanity of the world, we then want the world for ourselves. We want to take it to ourselves in an improper way, too much, and in a disordered way. And so human beings then begin to be impure. They begin to disobey seriously the law of God. They become gluttonous. They become avaricious. They become attached to the things of this world. And the third and deepest form of the spirit of the world is the pride of life, according to St. John. And this happens when, after we have drawn all of these things to ourselves improperly and inordinately, we then begin to think that the rules don't apply to us. A man who is impure, for example, but who knows he's impure and is sinning, is in a much better state than a man who has said to himself, "The law of God I don't have to obey. It doesn't apply to me," or in some way, "I am innocent." That is the pride of life. That's what Henry VIII did with regard to his adultery. He knew, first of all, in his heart that he was lusting, but in the pride of his life, he decided that lust was all right. I'm the king, and I have the right to change the rules of God and of his church. The pride of life gives rise to arrogance, disobedience, disrespect, heresy, human respect, pretense, lying. For you become like a little god, and you make your own rules, and the commandments of God don't apply to you. The Holy Ghost, on the other hand, inspires us to these things. First, a love for divine truth. It makes us have a taste for, a hunger for, the truth about God, why we exist, where we're going, what the purpose is of our existence, how do we please God, who is God. These things become important to a man who is driven by the Spirit of God. It is a lamentable fact that our world gives virtually no care to who God is. We see in today's gospel that Jerusalem was filled with religious men from all over the empire. They were there because they cared about who God was. We see also in the Acts of the Apostles that the Roman centurion Cornelius was a devout man. Even though he did not know the true God, he had at least a desire to know the true God. He wanted to lead a good life, and he was interested in the things of God, and God inspired St. Peter to go to him and preach the gospel to him. We see that when St. Paul and St. Peter and the other apostles went to the Gentiles, that there was a certain thirst for the things of God. But today people are so filled, so satiated with the things of this world that they have no interest in the things of God. And this shows that the spirit of the world has truly taken hold upon the earth. Indifference to divine things is a sign that the Holy Ghost is not in you. The Holy Ghost inspires us to true charity, which is primarily love of God, which is expressed by obedience to the commandments. And fraternal charity, true fraternal charity, which is to desire the true good for our neighbor. And to do it when there is necessity. And we see this love of God in the apostles. We see how they are transformed on this Pentecost Sunday. They go out full of courage and say things to the Jews that could have gotten them into great trouble, and indeed it did, telling them that they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost gives us a love of sacrifice for divine things, whereas the spirit of the world wants us to maximize the natural and the temporal and minimize the supernatural. The Spirit of God has us maximize the supernatural, the spiritual, and minimize the natural and the temporal. And that's why we see in the saints that they, by nature practically, neglect the natural and the temporal side of their lives. They don't care about the comforts of this life. And they spend a great deal of time in prayer and are zealous for the things of God. That's because they are driven by the Spirit of God to those things. And this charity gives us a love which makes us readily obey God, even when it is difficult. The Holy Ghost inspires in us heroism and firmness. We see this in the martyrs and the apostles. This is the sparkle of the Catholic Church. The heroism and firmness of faith in her martyrs. And this comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives us true comfort in difficulties and light in doubtful things. And furthermore, as our Lord says in the Gospel today, true peace. Peace within ourselves because we are ordered inside. For when we obey God, we are doing what we are supposed to be doing. We are doing what He made us to do. It gives us also peace with our neighbor because the Holy Ghost inspires us to charity and to justice. And charity and justice are the two ways in which we keep peace and even friendship with our neighbor. And it gives us peace with God because we are obedient to the law of God by the Spirit of God, and therefore we have no enmity with Him but order and friendship. On the other hand, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no interior peace because he is all disordered. And this disorder is manifested in his outward demeanor. If we see today many ugly things, if we see modern art as ugly, and if we see even many modern buildings as brutal and ugly, it is because human beings inside are disordered and ugly. If we see modern art, if we hear modern music, we notice right away that it is disordered and ugly. And that is because the people who make them and the people who like those things are inside disordered and ugly. The soul that loves mortal sin is a soul that does not want silence, that does not want to see a world of order, but wants to create a world of disorder the way it is itself inside. And it is impossible for those who love sin to establish a long-lasting peace with their neighbor. because their love of the world makes them selfish. And selfishness always causes discord. And obviously there is no peace with God in the wicked because they love mortal sin. The Spirit of God, as I said, comes to us in baptism and in confirmation. It is like a great wind that comes upon a ship, a sailing ship. But if the sails of that ship are all rolled up, the wind can blow as much as it wants, but the ship will not move for the fact that it cannot catch this wind. So also, although we receive the Holy Ghost in baptism and in confirmation, although we have the gifts of the Holy Ghost for as much as we are in the state of sanctifying grace, if we posit voluntary obstacles to the movement of the Holy Ghost, there is no possible way that we are going to go in the direction that He wants us to. If we love our gluttony, if we love our impurity, if we love anything that is an obstacle to Him, then we will, if we sin mortally, expel Him from our souls, and we will be spiritually dead. Our Blessed Lady is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, and we cannot think of the Holy Ghost today on this great feast of Pentecost without also thinking about her who received the Holy Ghost in the greatest plenitude possible, not only at the time of the Annunciation when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, but most importantly at this time of Pentecost and finally by her coronation in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.